Welcome to our deep dive, you guys, into the Book of Job. It's one of those texts that's been, pondered and debated for centuries. But today we're going a bit deeper. We're going to try and explore Job, looking through the lens of the ancient Near East. We're using some really great insights from a lecture by Dr. John Walton. He's a leading expert in the field.
You know, what I think is really fascinating is that by understanding the world that Job lived in, we can see how his story really challenges. It challenges the foundation of ancient beliefs about suffering and the divine. And, it's a story that I think resonates just as powerfully today, especially as we grapple with our own questions about faith and just the challenges that life throws at us.
Yeah, that's what I think is so captivating about Job, It's this ancient text, but the themes are so timeless. But before we jump into Job himself, let's try to paint a picture of what the ancient Near East was like. Dr. Walton paints a really vivid picture of a world where the gods were seen as super unpredictable and their demands were often unclear. Can you imagine living under that kind of uncertainty? Not knowing why misfortune strikes.
It's hard for us today to really grasp that level of anxiety. But for people in the ancient Near East, that was a daily reality. And this fear that they had really permeated their literature. So texts such as A Man and His God or Ludlow Belnemeki, even the Babylonian Theodicy, all of these grapple with the plight of the pious sufferer.
So these pious sufferers are characters who, I guess they're seemingly righteous, but they're just struck by terrible misfortune, almost like the universe is playing a cruel cosmic joke on them.
Yeah, exactly. And they're left totally bewildered. They're just desperately searching for answers. There's one quote from Ludlow Belnemeki that I think really captures this feeling of helplessness. The sufferer cries out, "Who knows the will of the gods in heaven? Where have mortals ever learned the way of a god?" It's such a raw expression of just frustration and the utter inability to understand the divine will.
Wow, yeah, that's powerful. I mean, wouldn't that lead to a society just consumed by anxiety, constantly trying to appease these unpredictable gods?
Absolutely. And that's where the rituals and offerings would come in. They believe that by performing the right rituals, the right sacrifices, they could somehow keep the gods happy and ward off disaster.
It sounds exhausting, like a never-ending game of trying to please an unpredictable boss.
Yeah.
But this is where Job enters the scene, and he seems to be playing by a different set of rules. He's not even an Israelite yet. Dr. Walton points out that his mindset is distinctly Israelite. He's not concerned with multiple gods or trying to figure out which one he might have offended. His focus is solely on Yahweh.
That's a really crucial difference. It suggests that Job has a more developed concept of a single all-powerful God. He's not trying to navigate, a pantheon of deities with all these competing agendas. His struggle is much more personal and direct, like a one-on-one with Yahweh.
It makes you wonder if that singular focus allowed him to develop a deeper understanding of God's character, or at least grapple with it in a way his peers couldn't. And it's not just about who Job worships, it's how he understands his relationship with God. He seems to be wrestling with this concept of deserved versus undeserved punishment, which that concept doesn't appear in other ancient Near Eastern texts.
You're right. He's operating within a moral framework that seems to be totally absent in those other texts. It suggests that Job, unlike his peers, believes in a God who operates according to these principles of justice and righteousness. He's not just trying to appease a fickle deity. He's demanding an explanation for his suffering based on those principles.
So Job is really challenging the very foundation of how people in the ancient Near East viewed their relationship with the gods. He's not interested in ritualistic appeasement or trying to decipher these divine whims. He's demanding an accounting based on this concept of justice.
And that actually leads to an even more, I guess you could say, subversive layer to Job's challenge. He's disrupting the very foundation of the relationship between humans and the divine. This idea of a great symbiosis, as Dr. Walton calls it.
This great symbiosis, it sounds like some kind of cosmic contract. You serve the gods and they protect you. What happens when that contract is broken, like in Job's case?
That's exactly the question that Job's story is forcing us to confront. The ancient Near Eastern mindset was to view this relationship as purely transactional. You offer sacrifices, you perform rituals, and in return you receive these blessings and protection. But Job's suffering throws a wrench into that system.
He's basically saying, wait a minute, I've upheld my end of the bargain, so why am I being punished? It's almost as if he's challenging the very notion of a transactional relationship with God.
Precisely. And what's even more striking is that the book of Job deliberately contrasts Job's perspective with all the prevailing beliefs of his time. It's almost like the author saying, look, Here's how everyone else thinks, and here's a completely different way of seeing things.
So, like, how does the Book of Job highlight this contrast?
Well, for one, it completely ignores the ancient obsession with ritual offenses and appeasement. Remember all those texts we talked about where the sufferer is desperately trying to figure out which god they've angered and how to make amends?
Yeah, they're obsessed with figuring out where they went wrong in the cosmic rule book.
Exactly. But that's not Job's concern at all. He's not trying to appease a deity or find a ritual loophole. He's demanding justice from God while simultaneously insisting on his own righteousness. And that's a radical departure from the traditional way of thinking.
So it's not about regaining, you know, material possessions or restoring his former status.
No, it goes way deeper than that. It's about understanding God's character and how that relates to human suffering. It's about questioning the very nature of justice and righteousness in a world where bad things happen to good people.
I can see how this would be such a difficult concept for people in the ancient Near East to even grasp. They were so focused on appeasing the gods, they may not have considered a higher concept of justice.
Absolutely. And this is where Job's friends come into play. They kind of represent that traditional way of thinking. They're constantly trying to fit Job's suffering into that framework of the great symbiosis. They're like, Job, you must have done something to anger God. Just figure it out, make things right, and you'll be restored.
But they're completely missing the point of Job's struggle, aren't they?
They are. And this further highlights the limitations of the ancient worldview. Job's friends can't fathom a relationship with God that isn't based on this simple exchange of favors. They're stuck in a transactional mindset, unable to see the deeper spiritual questions Job is wrestling with.
It seems like Job is not only challenging God, but also challenging this whole worldview, like this way of life that had defined his culture for centuries.
That's precisely why the Book of Job resonates so deeply with us even today. You know, we still grapple with those same questions about suffering, justice, and our relationship with the divine. The book doesn't offer easy answers or tie things up neatly, but it does provide this framework for thinking about these issues in a more profound and ultimately a more, I think, hopeful way.
It's incredible how a text written like thousands of years ago can still feel so relevant and speak to our deepest human experiences.
It speaks to the enduring power of these fundamental questions. And in our final segment, we'll delve into the ultimate message of the Book of Job. Like, what can we learn from Job's experience and how does it actually apply to our lives today?
We've journeyed through the ancient Near East and we've explored their worldview. And we've kind of witnessed how Job's story just like shatters those conventions. But as we reach, I guess, the final part of our deep dive, the question is still there, you know? What does this all mean for us today? What can we, you know, grappling with our own struggles, searching for meaning, take away from Job's experience?
That's the heart of it, isn't it? The Book of Job, as we've seen, doesn't offer, you know, simple solutions or easy answers. But I think it provides profound insights into the nature of faith, the mystery of God, and like the very essence of what it means to be human, especially in a world where suffering is so present.
It feels like we've been wrestling with some pretty heavy themes here. If there's like one core message, one key takeaway you want to leave our listener with, what would that be?
I think the most powerful message that the Book of Job offers is this. Even in the midst of suffering, even when we feel, you know, totally lost and alone, God is present. He may not always provide the explanations that we crave or, you know, answer our questions in the way that we expect. But his presence remains constant. And it's within that presence, even within the mystery and the unknown, that we can find a foundation for hope and a source of solace.
That's a really beautiful thought. And it kind of circles back to something we touched upon earlier. You know, the ancient Near Eastern mindset was so fixated on this transactional relationship with the gods, like a cosmic quid pro quo. But Job's story really pushes us beyond that limited perspective, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Job's journey really encourages a much more, I think, mature and nuanced understanding of faith. It's a faith that acknowledges the mystery, accepts the uncertainty, and embraces the reality that we don't have all the answers. You know, remember that quote from Little Bill Nimicky where the sufferer cries out in frustration, "Who knows the will of the gods?" The Book of Job really invites us to sit with that very question, not as a source of despair, but as an invitation to a deeper trust.
It seems like a paradox, you know, like finding solace in not knowing. Yet the Book of Job suggests that this surrender, this acceptance of the limits of human understanding, can be a pathway to a more profound connection with the divine.
It challenges us to move beyond, I think, the need to control, the need to explain, to fit everything into this neat and tidy box. The Book of Job reminds us that God operates on a scale that's, you know, far grander than we can comprehend. His wisdom and justice unfold in ways that we may never fully grasp. And perhaps in that very realization, we find a sense of liberation.
Liberation from the burden of needing to have all the answers, perhaps.
Exactly. It frees us to simply be present in the midst of our experience, whatever that may hold. It allows us to kind of embrace the full spectrum of human emotions, you know? The joy and the sorrow, the certainty and the doubt, without needing to resolve every tension or find this neat explanation for every twist and turn of life.
This has been an incredible deep dive. We've, you know, explored the ancient world, we've uncovered their beliefs, and we've witnessed how Job's story offers this, you know, radical departure from those conventions. We've wrestled with some really profound questions about suffering and faith and the very nature of God. But, like with any good deep dive, we've only scratched the surface.
Yeah, there's always more to explore, more to ponder. And that's the beauty of the Book of Job, you know.
Yeah.
It invites us to keep questioning, to keep seeking, to really engage in this ongoing conversation with the divine, even when the answers just seem to remain elusive.
So as we conclude our deep dive, we leave you with this thought. If Job can serve God, not out of fear of punishment or expectation of reward, but out of a genuine, like, unwavering devotion, what does that say about our own relationship with the divine?
Uh-huh.
Is it possible for us to kind of move beyond the transactional, to cultivate a faith that rests in trust and finds solace,
yeah,
even in the midst of unanswered questions?
It's a question worth pondering.
Yeah.
And as you continue to explore the Book of Job, as you navigate your own life's journey, we really encourage you to hold that question close. It might just lead you to a deeper understanding of faith, a more profound connection with the divine,
yeah,
and I think a more resilient spirit in the face of life's, you know, inevitable challenges.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Book of Job. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, keep seeking. So we've made it, you know? We've journeyed through the ancient Near East, explored their worldview. We've seen how Job's story really kind of shatters those conventions.
Mm.
But here we are at the end of our deep dive. And I think the question that we're left with is, what does this all mean for us, right? Like, what can we take away from Job's experience, especially as we grapple with our own struggles and we're all searching for meaning?
I think that's the heart of it, you know? The Book of Job doesn't offer, like, you know, simple solutions. It doesn't tie things up,
mm-hmm,
all nice and neatly for us. But I think what it does give us is really profound insights into faith and the, mm-hmm, mystery of God, and even just what it means to be human in a world like ours where there's just so much suffering.
It feels like, you know, we've been wrestling with some really heavy, heavy themes here. If there was just one core message, one key takeaway that you really wanted to leave our listeners with, what would that be?
You know, honestly, I think the most powerful message that the Book of Job really offers is just this. Even when we're in the midst of suffering, even when we feel, you know, completely lost and alone, God is there.
Mm-hmm.
He may not always give us the explanations that we want or answer all of our questions in the way that we expect, but his presence, it's constant, and it's within that presence, even when we don't understand, even within all of the mystery, you know, that's where we can find a foundation for hope and even solace.
That's a beautiful thought. And it makes me think back to something we talked about earlier about how the ancient Near East, they were just so fixated on this transactional relationship with the gods, almost like this cosmic quid pro quo. But Job's story, it pushes us beyond that limited view, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, Job's journey, it really encourages us to have a more mature and nuanced understanding of faith, right? It's a faith that acknowledges the mystery. It accepts all the uncertainty that comes with life and really embraces the fact that we just don't have all the answers. You know, remember that quote from Lodlul Belnemeki where the sufferer just cries out in frustration, who knows the will of the gods?
Mm.
Well, the Book of Job, it invites us to sit with that question and not to let it be a source of despair, but instead, you know, see it as an invitation to a deeper trust.
Yeah, it's like finding solace in not knowing. It almost seems like a paradox, right? But the Book of Job is really suggesting that this surrender, this acceptance of the limits of our human understanding, could actually be a pathway to a more profound connection with God.
It challenges us to move beyond that need to control everything, you know, to explain everything, to fit everything into these neat little boxes that we create for ourselves. The Book of Job, it reminds us that God works on a scale that's way bigger than we can even begin to imagine. His wisdom, his justice, it all unfolds in ways that we may never fully grasp. But maybe in that realization, there's a sense of liberation.
Like liberation from that burden of always needing to have the answer.
Exactly. It frees us to just be present, to be in the moment, no matter what that moment holds for us. It lets us embrace every emotion, you know, joy and sorrow, certainty and doubt, without always having to find the answer, without having to explain everything away.
This has been, wow, such an amazing deep dive. You know, we've explored this ancient world, we've uncovered their beliefs, and we've seen how Job's story is just so different from all of that. We've wrestled with some really big questions about suffering and faith and the very nature of God. But like with any good deep dive, we've only just scratched the surface.
Always more to explore. Always more to think about. I think that's what makes the book of Job so incredible, so powerful. It invites us to keep questioning, to keep searching, to really have that conversation with God, you know, even when the answers seem impossible to find.
As we wrap up our deep dive today, we'll leave you with this one thought. If Job can serve God, not out of fear, not because he expects some kind of reward, but out of just pure devotion, what does that say about our relationship with God? Is it possible for us to move past that transactional mindset, to cultivate a faith that rests in trust, to find peace even when we don't have the answers?
That's a question worth thinking about. And as you continue to read and study the book of Job, as you go on your own journey in life, we encourage you to really to hold on to that question. Because who knows, it might just lead you to an even deeper understanding of your faith, a more profound connection to God, and maybe even a stronger spirit in the face of whatever challenges life might throw your way.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the book of Job. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep seeking.